When we trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, calling upon Him, our sins are covered by His blood. And now this term also kind of carried the sense of covering something that was foul, a foul thing, you know, and that's our sin, right? Our sin is covered. A merciful veil is placed over our sin.
Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's the 4th of July, and so with this in mind, I'd like to say happy 4th to all of our listeners, and I'd also like to pray for our nation. Father, we just come before you and we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness upon this nation. You have been so good to us. We don't deserve the freedom that we have enjoyed for so many years. And yet we see things that are disturbing, Lord God. Our nation is corrupt and wicked and sinful, Lord God. Our nation needs you. Father, we pray for our leaders. We pray that they might come to faith, that they might turn and believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might be able to live a peaceful and quiet life, which is good and acceptable in your sight. Father, please help us to respond rightly. Help us not to become fearful, agitated, worried, whatever it might be, Lord God, but help us to go to you, to trust you to work through these things, to protect us, Lord God. We also pray, even in these dark days, for opportunities for the gospel, that we might be able to share why we, in light of all that is going on, have hope. So we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our hope, Lord God. And I pray that we might be able to live this peaceful and quiet life that is good and acceptable in your sight. But yet also, Lord, that we would be ready to share the good news concerning your Son, Jesus. And it is in his name we pray.
And Greg, as we embark on today's teaching, give us an idea of what we'll be learning.
Well, Dave, today we continue to look at the blessedness of the forgiven from Psalm 32. So let's turn together to our passage.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. If you hear God's word, you have a relationship with Him. You hear His voice, right? You hear Him because you have His Spirit. And you obey, you are blessed. So then in Scripture, we see true blessedness or happiness is not tied to circumstance, but is intricately tied to a right relationship with the living God, where we trust Him, we fear Him, we have His word running in our hearts, and we obey Him. That's who is blessed. You see a t-shirt, first says blessed. Hopefully that's what's going on, right? And now we're going to see it goes even far beyond that into what God has done for us. So then, we have this right relationship as a core foundation of blessedness, a right relationship with the Lord. But how do we have this? How does one enter into a right relationship with the Lord? How is one actually blessed? Well, we know that God is holy. God is righteous, and He is a righteous judge, and He has indignation every day. You think about an earthly judge. If there's some horrible murderer, or some school shooter, or some horrible molester, whatever it might be, and they're before the judge, and the judge says, you will go free. That's not a righteous judge at all. A righteous judge gives the offender the sentence that is due to the crime, that is equal to the crime. And for us, the wages of sin is death. And we know that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. And God is a righteous judge. We deserve His judgment. We deserve it. Isaiah 59, verse 1, the Lord had made a covenant with Israel. And yet Israel hadn't come to faith by and large the nation in their Lord. He was their God, but they didn't believe. And so in Isaiah 59, verse 1, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that He cannot save, nor His ear that is so dull that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have made separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. It's sin. Sin is in the way. But God is gracious. And ever since the beginning of mankind, in the first sin, God had a plan to bring salvation to mankind. You see, ever since man first sinned, He had a plan to bring back a relationship of blessedness. You see, when the Lord created everything, it was good. And man, Adam and Eve were blessed, but then they sinned. But God had a plan to bring blessing back. Back in Genesis, after they sinned, God declared that Eve's seed would crush Satan's head, Genesis 3, and that through Eve's human seed would come one who would defeat Satan and death. And we see the gospel was proclaimed, preached in the promises to Abraham, that through his seed, one would come in which all the nations would be what? Blessed. And we know that the Old Testament law given to Israel was a shadow of the sacrifices needed. There needed to be death for sin, to have sin covered, atoned for. And it pointed to the once for all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We know he, speaking of the Father, made him, speaking of the Son, who knew no sin, because he was sinless and spotless, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God took on human flesh. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He died for our sins and rose from the dead. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we turn to him for salvation. That's repentance. We turn from our sin to Jesus Christ, acknowledging our sin, believing in him. Then we are forgiven. We are justified. We are declared righteous. Our sins having been paid for through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're redeemed. And so then, like for instance, notice back in our passage in Psalm 32, look down to verse 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. You're righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. You're righteous. You're righteous. Shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. You've been redeemed. So then, we're going to see we are righteous because we have been forgiven. Now, the Apostle Paul quotes this very same passage in Romans chapter 4. Turn to Romans chapter 4. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll start with verse 4 in Romans chapter 4. And Paul is making the point that we're not saved by our works. And Abraham wasn't saved by his works, that we're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as favor, but what is due. You do a job, you get paid for it, right? That's because you did something, right? But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is reckoned as righteousness. When you do not work for your salvation, but you believe that Jesus Christ did it all, and you trust in him, you believe in him, your faith is reckoned as righteous. You are reckoned as righteous. Just as David, and here's our passage, also speaks of the blessing upon the man to whom the Lord reckons righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sin has been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. You see, you are justified. You're declared righteous because God took care of your sins through Jesus Christ. And so we have back in our passage, how blessed, it's emphatic, is he whose transgression is forgiven. That's a tremendous statement. The term in Hebrew for forgiven means to lift or carry away, to take away. When we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, our sins were carried away. They were taken care of by Jesus Christ. They were placed upon him, and he died for our sins. We read this in Psalm 103 earlier in our service. Verse 8, the Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, and that's infinite, by the way, that example, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Tremendous. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgression. Isn't that great? Isaiah 43:25. For my own sake, and will not remember your sins. Oh man, we got to stop remembering other people's sins. Be like the Lord, right? Not take into account a wrong suffered. God is so gracious. He is not bringing up our sin every day. He wants us to become like his son, Jesus Christ. And it's in the context of blessed relationship with him and love that we step forward and trust and obey him and confess our sins. For his own sake, and I will remember them no more. Isn't that great? That is wonderful. If you know how much you've sinned, which I do, you go, wow, thank you so much, Lord God. We praise him for it. Micah 7. Verse 18. If you can find it, turn to Micah 7:18 to get towards the end of the Old Testament. Micah 7. And you know, we're going to see in Nehemiah that these people are running through their head what God has done for them. And they're praising him. And they're thanking him. And they're praising and thanking and singing and rejoicing, rejoicing. It brings joy. Micah 7, verse 18. Who is a God like thee who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You're blessed if your sins are forgiven. You're so blessed. We are so blessed. If you think of that, I'm blessed because of what Jesus has done for me. Now, I could be blessed in a lot of other little ways along the way that God has done things for us. We don't reject that either. We know he's blessed us in those things. But ultimately, we are blessed because of what he's done. Some New Testament passages that give us an understanding of our forgiveness. Ephesians 1:7, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Isn't that great? It's through the blood of Jesus we're forgiven. Colossians 1:13, for he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, that means the price paid, and then he says, the forgiveness of sins. Tremendous. Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my law in their heart and upon their mind I'll write it. And he says, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. Amen. Amen. That is so wonderful. And the apostle Peter, when he first preached the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts 10, he shares in the very end of that, he says, and he has ordered us to preach, this is Acts 10:42, he orders to preach to the people and solemnly testify that this is the one, that's speaking of Jesus, who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. You can have forgiveness of sins today if you believe that God sent his Son, and that his Son took on human flesh, fully God, fully man, God the Son, and that he lived the perfect life, and that he went to the cross, and he bore your sins on the cross, and he died for your sins and rose from the dead. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You can have forgiveness of sins. Tremendous, wonderful reality. Now, along with this forgiveness of sins, we have the removal of guilt. By the way, when we do things wrong, now we can be hardened, we can be seared in our consciences, but at one time we had guilt. When we did things wrong, we had guilt in our conscience. We knew it was wrong. And when we believe in Jesus, the guilt is removed. Look down in verse 5 of our passage back in Psalm 32. I acknowledged my sin to thee, and my iniquity I did not hide. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Certainly being guilty, but there's guilt that goes with that, right? Tremendous, wonderful, wonderful. We are forgiven. How blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven? Let me ask you this. Are you blessed? If your transgressions have been forgiven, yes, you are. And you are greatly blessed. How blessed. Then notice he says and speaks of this blessing in a different way. Whose sin is covered. Back in verse 1. The term covered means covered. Okay? It means to cover, right? When we trust in Jesus Christ as Lord, calling upon him, our sins are covered by his blood. And now this term also kind of carried the sense of covering something that was foul. A foul thing, you know? And that's our sin, right? Our sin is covered. A merciful veil is placed over our sin through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. It is covered. And then look at verse 2. How blessed is the man in whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. So you have forgiveness. The sin is taken away. You have it being covered. It's no longer stinky foul, right? It's covered by the blood of Christ. It's been taken care of, right? And then you have here, as we see here, the one who the Lord does not impute iniquity. You see, apart from the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ, for those of you who have not trusted in Jesus Christ, God is righteously accounting every word and deed. He is righteously accounting them. He is a righteous judge who will bring forth judgment for every word and deed. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verse 34. Now, the Pharisees were wicked on the inside, but they had a veneer, and they would say things that appeared to be religious and good, but the Lord's going to unveil them, and he's going to unveil them and say, hey, ultimately your words are going to match your heart. So he says here in Matthew 12, 34, you brood of vipers, or you offspring of venomous snakes, speaking to those hypocrites, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of the good treasure brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. I say to you that every careless word that man shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, by your words you shall be condemned. Every careless word. Every word you're going to be judged for. And I am so thankful my sin's covered. I am so thankful. Romans chapter 2, verse 3, and do you not suppose, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things, and you do the same yourself, that you'll escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness, this is Romans 2, and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? We speak into Jews who had not come to faith in Jesus. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Words and deeds. It is appointed man once to die and then to judgment. Hebrews 9:27. Acts 17, therefore, having overlooked times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. There is judgment for sin. And if your sins are not forgiven, God will impute your iniquity to you, or be reckoned to you. You will be accountable for every word and deed. That's what that word impute means. He says, how blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. The word means to reckon or account. It goes on your slate. You got to pay the price. And guess what the price is? The wages of sin is death. And ultimately, there's the second death, which is the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Friends, you are either blessed or not blessed, based on whether you've trusted in Jesus Christ or not. If you've had your sins forgiven, you are blessed. If you haven't, you are on your way to judgment. But God is gracious, and he calls out to everyone to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is open to all. So back to our passage. He says here, how blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man in whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. Then notice this little word. It's very important. This little phrase. And in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now, we're going to see in a moment that he's speaking of the way you have confessed or not. See, there are some who would say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in him. And I've confessed my sin. I trusted in him. But they didn't really confess their sin. They got a deceitful confessing of sin. They got a lot of excuses. There's not an open acknowledgement of sin. There's excuses. There's deceitfulness. There's cover-up rather than an open confessing. And so he's saying the blessed man is the one in whose spirit there is no deceit. And he's going to give himself as an example of being deceitful, but then confessing it completely. That will help us. He says here, when I kept silent about my sin, verse 3, now, it's really important that we notice this, that in the original Hebrew, there's a for here. For, when, or because, when I kept silent. Now, the NASB doesn't translate that. That needs to be translated. The ESV does, for its credit, says for. So, in whose spirit there is no deceit, for, and he's going to give an example. Because, and here's this example, when he kept silent about his sin, his example is, I was being deceitful. I was fooling myself, deceiving others in my heart. He says, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For night and day thy hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. So David is acknowledging that before he confessed his sin, God's heavy disciplinary hand was upon him, in effect, because he was being deceitful about his sin. He says, the one that's blessed is the one that's forgiven. There's no deceit. Because when I did this, this is what was going on. That's what he's saying, basically. You know, when you go to the Lord, you say, Lord, I'm sorry I did this, but, you know, I'm really wired this way. This is the way he made me. This is from my past. Oh, it's because of what's going on around me. I'm doing this. It's when you have a because or a reason why, rather than just humble yourself saying, I blew it. I couldn't help myself. I blew it. It was me. I sinned completely, whatever it was. Now, not helping yourself, you're admitting you did it, okay? You did it. A lot of people have excuses, and this world is centered around excuses. I mean, there's an excuse or there's a medical name or excuse for all kinds of stuff, right? Basically, everything is not one's own responsibility. But the reality is we are responsible for our words and deeds, and everyone will be accounted to, and God will impute those to us if we have not been forgiven. You know, for us believers, now David's a believer, and he's given us a believer's example, but he's going to talk about the consequences for those who don't believe. Don't give excuses. Just confess it and be forgiven. Don't give excuses. Oh, I was tired. It's not. We know you're tired, God. No temptation has come upon man except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will provide a way of escape that you may endure it. It's common. When you say, my temptation, you don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what happened to me when I was there. You don't know what my parents were like. You don't know what my relationship was like with my family. We don't know. That's just excuses. You're being deceitful in your mind. You're deceiving yourself. You've actually got deceit in your heart. You're actually not confessing at all. You're deceiving yourself and maybe even others that you are forgiven when you're not. If you've got excuses. If you've got excuses. When you keep silent about your sin, you don't acknowledge it. If you're a believer now, notice there is going to be God's heavy hand of discipline on you. If you're a true believer, God's going to lay it down on you, okay? And if you got sin, and God will even lay it down to the point where he will, for his name's sake, bring someone, discipline them to death. Now look at the example of the Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11. This was pretty serious sin. This was sin that was visible to everyone. They were having time of communion, and they were basically making it a drunken party. And basically, God was disciplining them. And he disciplined some to the point of death. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. If you're taking communion and you don't acknowledge your sin, this is a big problem. He says, for this reason, many among you are weak. That means physically sick and sick, and a number sleep. It means dead. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we shall not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord in order that we may not be condemned along with the world. The Lord will bring his disciplinary hand upon you, even to the point here we see to death, if you don't respond. And that's so that you would not be condemned in judgment with the world.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in the Book of Psalms. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series or the Ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, you made a very important point in your message today, and as we wrap up our time together, I'd like you to expand on it a little bit.
Well, Dave, what I simply shared was what the Word of God says and what we see through David's example, that if we don't respond to God's prompting concerning our sin, he disciplines us. If we don't confess or we're deceitful about it, giving excuses, we're going to see his heavy hand upon us. Well, maybe there's some believers out there that are listening today that God's heavy hand is upon you.
Would you just turn to the Lord with no deceit and just confess, admit what's happened, acknowledge your sin, and be forgiven, and let the Lord restore you to Him.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.